This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Welcome back to the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors alongside my co-host Kevin Hakelin. Colby Sapp and Parker all in studio tonight. We're ready to have a full night of fun with you. And joining us right now to get this party started, it is former Dallas Cowboy Terrell Owens. Terrell, how's it going today, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. And can we go ahead and call you Hall of Famer Terrell Owens, or do we have to wait?
it's official, so... Yeah, it's appropriate.
That's what I'm talking about. So what we want to know is, and I know people probably ask you about the speech and everything like that, but we want to know if you've talked to Jerry Jones about how to throw the most kick-ass Hall of Fame party ever, because that's what I would be concerned about.
I have reached out to Jerry Jones for a couple of things, more so on a business front, but I don't think, I know how to party, so, but if I can get any tips on how to throw a great party, then I guess he would be the man to do it, since he does everything big.
That is a great point. If you are taking advice, I have a Hall of Fame party tip for you. Invite all the haters, because if ever there were a time to show them up, it's at your Hall of Fame party, and you're like, you know what, bygones be bygones, come celebrate my greatness. That's what I would do.
Well, you know, they're going to be tuned in whether they want to be or not. I mean, you get a lot of these haters, which I call them undercover admirers. Other than that, man, I'm going to have a great time and looking forward to the induction. Really, I mean, as I've been, you know, speaking to a lot of people, you know, doing a lot of interviews, I'm going to really use this moment to really give back to those that really sacrifice, you know, for me to get to where I am. And, that's on a personal level and even on a business level. You think about, you know, my grandmother, who I was raised by, her and my mom really didn't understand how much they sacrificed and what they did for me growing up. And it wasn't until I was able to really, you know, open my eyes up and expand, you know, kind of where I was as a person to understand what they did and how much sacrifice that they made for not only me, but my sisters and brothers. So, not only them, but, you know, my personal trainer and all the people that he introduced me to really prolong my career, take care of my body, become knowledgeable, about really just cutting edge technology, medicinal purposes. Everything that I did to enable and prolong my football career, I have a lot of people to thank.
Hall of Famer Terrell Owens joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece. And do you know who's going to speak first, you or Randy Moss?
I have no idea about the order in which, in which guys are going to be presented or talked, in terms of, you know, their speeches are concerned. Like I said, I'm just doing what I can do. I'm going to do what's best for me and my family. Looking forward to the opportunity, and the day, so I can be able to really give back to those.
All right. So my co-host has lost 160 pounds and I've lost 60 pounds. Huh? Yeah. Just recently. Huh? Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations to you guys.
And thank
a lot
you.
Of people, they, it's again, like I said, I mean, I've had a lot of people that reached out to me and say I should open up a fitness gym, I should do another fitness book, you know, I should do something in the, you know, fitness related, in the industry, and really thinking about it. But I think a lot of people have realized the shape that I've kept myself in and how I played. A lot of it is really due to my nutrition and how I took care of my body. And a lot of people, and I'm sure for yourself, you guys have probably experienced it, you know, trying to lose weight or gain weight. But again, it's easier said than done. It takes a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication and discipline. And that's what a lot of people don't have. And I think if you want to have some results, you got to do some things differently than what you're accustomed to doing. So I'm sure you guys had that experience, and most of it is diet. You have to exercise and, you know, do all these things to help burn those calories, but nutrition is a big part of that.
That's absolutely true. That's been the whole thing, is changing the diet up. So I guess the next step, though, is how do we get all ripped up abs like you have? How do we do that?
Again, like I said, once you get to a state in which you're comfortable with your body, it's about just toning up. And, you know, if you're trying to build muscle, really just get on a diet that's going to be conducive to how you want to look. And trust me, everybody has abs. You know, sometimes it takes a little longer for other people to get to them than others.
They're hitting pretty good. They've been hitting pretty good.
Yeah, they're there.
That's what I like. That's my new philosophy. Everyone has abs. Just how hard are you going to work
under the layers
to go ahead and get them? So we're talking with... Man, I feel like we're writing a book right here.
Yeah, we
might have the start, the makings of the next book right there. You can go ahead and tell everyone that we lost all that weight on your program.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll sell out like that.
All right, let's do it.
Yes.
Talking with Terrell Owens, Hall of Famer, former Dallas Cowboy. Now, Terrell, I was working for the Cowboys website the year before you came to the Cowboys, and I was in the press conference where I think it was Brad Sham asked about you. And Bill Parcells talked at length about your work ethic, and he was like, you can't discount the work that he puts in and practice and everything else. And that he said that was very admirable. And I always wondered, was it a warm welcome whenever you came to the Cowboys with Bill Parcells, or what was that relationship like?
Well, I don't think he was on board with the actual idea of bringing me in, because, you know, I think if everybody remembers, Keyshawn Johnson was there right before I got there. And obviously they had a relationship stemming over from the New York Jets. And so, again, to obviously bring someone in, obviously, and I think in a lot of people's eyes, they felt like I was an issue or what have you, to bring me in and replace somebody that he has that relationship with, then I'm sure it was a tough pill to swallow, especially when he didn't have the control. He didn't have really any say-so. Obviously, he may have had some input, but ultimately it was Jerry's decision to do that. And so I think Jerry did what was best based on really the abilities and that, you know, you really try to dissect what Keyshawn has done with his career at that time, and really you bring what I was doing at with my career at the time. He felt like it was a no-brainer. Both were, you know, obviously I there's no doubt about it, Keyshawn was a better receiver than I was coming out of college. But when you look at statistically where I am now, you know, you can't really say that. So that was really a tribute to really my hard work and what I did, you know, to really not be average in a lot of people's minds. So I know coming out of going into the 96 draft and coming out of it, I wasn't on, you know, a lot of people's radar, their draft boards. But I'm sure, you know, a lot of people felt like, yeah, I was a diamond in the rough. I kind of, you know, slipped from a lot of people's fingers. But it, like I said, they had a right to do so because I wasn't developed as a receiver as I was when I left the game. So, Jerry Jones made that decision. I could probably say that Bill Parcells, he wasn't really too keen on the idea of bringing me aboard. But other than that, like I said, I think I brought a little bit more to the table than Keyshawn was providing at that time. And Jerry saw that. He made a very highly educated and great decision to do that.
Talk with T.O. right here on 105.3 The Fan. And since you were in Dallas, you know how people can complain. A lot of undercover admirers of Jerry Jones will say, but it sounds like you have quite a bit of admiration for Mr. Jones. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I do. Even with the fact that I didn't agree how I was cut and released from the team. Again, I stand by really how I feel today about that. Again, I don't agree with it, especially when you signed me to a 4-year deal, and then, you know, months later, right after that season, my third year had expired, and I'm going into the new contract year, and they pulled the rug from underneath me. And so I think a lot of that had to do it wasn't solely his decision. I think if it was really solely his decision, I would have retired a Cowboy. But again, a lot of people from the inside, whether it was coaching staff, you know, maybe some administration and a few players, they got to his ear and allowed and really persuaded him to make that decision. Do I think it was smart at the time? Absolutely not. You can't say that it was performance-based because I was still performing at a high level. So, again, a lot of people, I think, the way that Dez Bryant was released, a lot of people looked at this situation and say it was handled poorly. I would tend to agree. The same way with my decision. I felt like it was handled poorly. And, again, at the end of the day, How can you, at some point, you know, keep allowing a coach to be the scapegoat, or the players to be the scapegoat for what's not happening, especially when you have a head coach that's supposed to be offensive-minded. They're supposed to, you know, direct and lead the team to, you know, to where a team hasn't gotten in a number of years, and they pretty much have been at, you know, they've been at a standstill under the head coach of Jason Garrett.
How do you think that happens then? Because you mentioned Dez Bryant, and I was thinking these situations sound very similar. How do you think that some people take the blame when other people, like you were saying, Coach Garrett, maybe don't take the blame? How do you avoid that blame?
I have no idea. I think you really have to, like I said, you know what's really tough, and I think it really, when you really look at it, it doesn't make sense for Jason Garrett to continue to have his job, not really making any, not really expanding or not really progressing with the organization, even as a team under his coaching tenure there. And you look at let's bring up basketball for a second. Here you have Dwayne Casey of the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
This guy voted unanimous, you know, coach of the year, has taken Toronto to, you know, to the playoffs, three straight years or whatever, had three straight years of winning 50-plus games, and then they don't make it, you know, beyond where they what the expectations are within their organization, and he gets fired. And then you have Jason Garrett, who has no accomplishments, not even close to that, and he continues to still have a job. And it all boils down to him being the scapegoat and having players being the scapegoat for his inability to lead the team as he should. For me, it's mind-boggling. I don't understand it. And I think Jerry, again, he's the owner. At the end of the day, he has to be, you know, he has to be feel good with himself about the decisions. But I just don't understand why this guy still has a job.
Man, that's, you know, a lot of people around here in DFW are always questioning that too. And
we've heard it.
They feel like they're the heat's on him this year, but you know, as you see him clean out some coaches and clean out some players, you got to wonder the same thing. And speaking of cleaning out, and you talked about Dez there too. Do you think he's going to find a home? Will it be anytime soon? And what situation do you think? Like, what quarterback do you think would be best to work with Dez?
I was just answering this question on social media the other day, and they asked me what would be a great fit for Dez. I mean, you think about a team like the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. You think about the Carolina Panthers. You think about the Washington Redskins. I'm just trying to, you know, look at teams where I feel like he would be a great fit, and in addition to what they have, with him not necessarily feeling like he has to be the guy. I think if he can just, you know, understand and just work himself back to the Dez Bryant that we saw 3 or 4 years ago, and just not go in there, you know, with a whole lot of expectations in terms of really kind of what he can offer beyond what we saw last year or the last few years. If he just goes in there and just take the approach, let me go in here, reinvent myself. Let my play do the speaking for me instead of all these other shenanigans that's going to probably follow him from Dallas. If he just takes that approach and find the right team and right fit, then I think, again, he can be, if not close to where we saw Dez Bryant 3 or 4 years ago, he can be that added piece. And as the season goes along, he can develop some rapport and a chemistry with the team, with the quarterback. You know, so again, I've already talked to Dez, understanding that some of why he's not in Dallas is justified by the lack of production that he's had the last few years. You know, despite all the other Garrett guy stuff or what have you, yeah, I'm pretty sure that factored into the release. But most of that, in which I think the Cowboys feel justified in releasing him, is his lack of production the last few years.
Is it ever frustrating because, you know, Dez got tagged with this a lot. I know you did too. Is it ever frustrating when people get this, like, perceived notion about you, or they think you're this, or they think you're that, and you don't think that there's evidence to back that up, whether it's off the field stuff, whether it's being too cocky, whether it's not being a good teammate. Did that ever get to you? Because I know you heard that noise, and I know Dez hears it too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I heard it. I dealt with it, and what I did to quiet a lot of the critics is really go out there and perform. I think, you know, like I said, inside, I think you've heard a lot of guys, even with me, you know, being nominated the last two or three years and not being inducted when I feel like I rightfully should have been inducted the first year around. When you talk about character issues and things of that nature, there's a number of players that have had internal issues whether it's with teammates, coaches, or management, but that doesn't mean that they're bad people. That's just part of a working environment. It's going to be like that. I mean, you've heard it, you know, with some of the greatest, you know, athletes of all time. You think about Michael Jordan. You've heard the stories that, you know, that has gone on, you know, in the locker room, on the court, with how he treated or how some of his teammates perceived him. But at the end of the day, that's just part of business. So in terms of, you know, what we really allow to really manifest, that's really on how strong-willed of people we are. And I think for myself personally, I heard it. I didn't agree with it. Again, could I have done some things differently as far as communication, whether it was from management down, to prevent some of these things? Absolutely. But again, like, that's hindsight. But at the end of the day, I feel proud of really kind of what I was able to accomplish during those, you know, tumultuous times. And then the fact that, too, my grandmother raised me. She always told me to be who I was going to be. Don't allow anybody to really, you know, really characterize you, and then you think that that's really who you are. Just stay true to who you are, and I let my play do the speaking for me. And then if I didn't go out there and play well and I played poorly, all that to me was going to do was validate what these commentators were saying about me.
Terrell Owens joining us right now on the KNC Mashpiece. Before we let you go, my audience will know, or our audience will know exactly why I'm asking this question. Who's a better coach, Andy Reid or Jason Garrett?
Oh, that's a slam dunk, man. Andy Reid is by far the best coach, me personally, that I've had. And I say that, honestly, I say that because he realized the talent that I had, and he utilized me to the best of my abilities. There was no ego when I went to Philadelphia Eagles, despite, you know, whatever the media portrayal was of me. I wasn't selfish by any means. And then I was selfish to a degree that, yeah, if I know what I can provide and I know what I can do to a defender or to a defense to help us win, then, yeah, why wouldn't I be selfish? You know, some of the greatest have been said to be selfish. So I realized, you know, what presence that I presented with and without the ball. And that's what a lot of people didn't know about me. Again, internally, there are coaches that knew that about me. And I felt like even with this whole Hall of Fame stuff that went about, those should have been the guys that really kind of stood on the platform to dispel some of these notions that I divided the locker room, or I was an issue here and I was an issue there. But other than that, like I said, I knew what I provided. I knew my skill set, and Andy Reid utilized me to the best of my ability. I was playing lights out when I played for Philadelphia. If I would have continued to play there, there's no telling what my statistics would have been at this point in time at the end of my career.
Well, we appreciate all of that insight, especially for the local fans. That's great stuff. Congratulations. I'm a little late, but congratulations on the Hall of Fame. We're looking forward to the speech. We're looking forward to the party, and we're looking forward to having you back on the show anytime you like, good sir.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.